All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Afternoon, everybody. Happy Memorial Day. Tim, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm great. Day off. You know, the wife and I went out for breakfast. Nice day. Left the kids at home, so it was just her and I. We went to a new spot in town. Delicious. Absolutely delicious. When I go out for breakfast, Tim, I get something I can't usually order at home. You know what I mean? I think it's a treat. I don't get the normal omelet. Just eggs and bacon, because I can do that at home. It kind of irks me. So I got a nice short rib Benny. Oof, was it delicious? Delicious. Telling you what. I'm in a good mood. Nice. You don't seem like you're in a good mood. Are you upset we're taping on Memorial Day? What's wrong?
No, I'm in a great mood. I want to talk some hockey. I just had my breakfast, and I did make it at home, and it was just scrambled eggs and toast and some potatoes and some fruit. Delicious. Very cheap, very easy, very fast, and absolutely, just like I said, tasted excellent.
Have you ever had scrambled eggs made with farm fresh eggs?
Only the type of eggs that I buy the 18 packs now. It's like another $1.50 for another 6 eggs. So why not?
Tell you what, I got one chicken who's been just laying double yolks. It gives me so much joy to crack an egg and double yolk comes out every time. Like I audibly cheer in the house when I crack it open. I go, double yolk. And the kids are just like, Dad, relax. And I get fired up. There's one that does it every day. It's so fun. So it's a little things in life. You know what I mean? It's a little things. All right. You know what else is little? I don't know. I was trying to transition to our ad. It didn't really work out. We got to work on that one. This episode is brought to you by Bet365, everybody. Proud partner of Dropping the Gloves. Who knows for how long I just try to call them little. They're not little. They're big. One of the big dogs, and they're proud to partner with us, and we're just as happy to have them as a partner. You should open an account now with Bet365 so you can bet on a huge range of markets. So whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it is never ordinary at Bet365. Use code HOCKEYCA. That's HOCKEYCA at Bet365. Check it out. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. All right, moving on. I had some coffee at breakfast. Can you tell?
I can, yeah, but I like this version of John.
High bottomless energy. Bottomless coffee. They just keep bringing it. I've already paid for it. Fill it up, I say. Let's go. Let's see how much coffee's in that pot. All right. Rangers in Florida, Tim. Yesterday, game two, afternoon game, which is a whole other topic that I don't really care for. Players are made for night games. They're programmed for night games. Everything you do throughout the season, night game, night game, night game, night game. And then all of a sudden, in the middle of the playoffs, one of the most important games for both of these teams, you throw an afternoon game into the mix. Changes your sleep schedule, changes your body makeup. You're geared to start playing at 7 p.m. So that's a whole other thing with Gary Bettman. We'll take up another time. Should have been a 7 p.m. start, but it was a 3 p.m. start. It was very fun. And it looked like the Rangers were sleeping. Did not have a good game overall. Couple guys showed up, but overall as a whole, it was the Florida Panthers, too. My word, what a game that they played. The broadcast kept showing this stat. Total shot attempts, Panthers 1,000,000, the Rangers 4. It's just a bloodbath out there. It was. It didn't seem that egregious, but zone time, chance time, just overall game flow. the Panthers controlled the whole entire game. The Rangers took penalty after penalty after penalty, some warranted, some unwarranted. But at the end of the day, who gets the W, Tim? Who cares about zone time? Who cares about shot attempts? Who gets the W is all that matters. In the last two games, the New York Rangers have come up with the W. Friend of the show, Barclay Gaudreau, ices game one with an overtime winner. Beautiful shots past Sergei Bobrovsky. And he kicks it off in game two, gets another goal, probably two goals on two shots, I would imagine, from Barclay Gaudreau. What are your thoughts on the New York Rangers maybe winning two games they have no right winning, and now they have a 2-1 lead versus the Florida Panthers?
Yeah, because game one could have gone either way, and Rangers now have a 2-1 lead. And I kind of said, you know, I thought they'd split the next couple. And if you look at, like, the deserve-to-win-o-meter, and it's way, way, way skewed. And
where is that Florida meter exactly? Where can I find that meter, the deserve-to-win-o-meter?
It's one of those things. There's a guy on Twitter that does it, one of those advanced hockey guys that looks at all the scoring chances and things like that. And it was, like, 87% Florida. But yet, New York wins the game. And I think a lot of it has to do with the goaltending. We'll talk about the differences between Shesterkin and Bobrovsky in this game, game three. But I want to talk about some of the incidents and scores and stuff like that that happened during the game. But first and foremost, Matt Rempe gets the nod. He gets in the lineup and he makes a difference like he does every time he's on the ice. Even in a limited role, he just changes the game just by being in the lineup.
Yeah, gets inserted into the lineup because of an injury to, the name is blanking me, but one of the Rangers' depth guys gets injured, and Matt Rempe enters the chat like we said he would. He was going to play in this series, didn't play in last series versus Carolina. Game two, we need the big guy. We're calling in the lefty from the bullpen. Here he comes. Immediate impact, Tim. Like you said, doesn't do much on the score sheet, although was plus one in game three, screening the goaltender on Barclay Gaudreau's first goal. So he's in there. He takes a penalty. That's a whole other issue we'll get to in a second, but good for him. The big guy gets two games in. He's 2-0, now 3-0 in the playoffs, maybe 4-0. I don't know how many games he played in the first round. Undefeated in the playoffs. Now he's, listen to this record for Matt Rempe. In the NHL total, 22-3-1 when he's in the lineup. 22 wins, 3 losses, 1 overtime loss. Not bad. If I'm a coach, a GM, a president, anybody with a brain between my ears, that speaks volumes. I know he plays on a good team. I get that. When this guy's in the lineup, they win. I will relate that back to me because that's what I do. When I was playing for the Sharks, same kind of record. We were a losing team, except when the big guy was in the lineup. I don't know how dumb these GMs are that they didn't see that. And I get shipped out of town. Thanks a lot, Pete DeBoer. But yeah, when he's in there, he makes an impact, Tim. You notice Gaudreau was banging a little bit. Trocheck was banging a little bit. These guys, Trouba all of a sudden picks up his physical game. Couple scrums, Bennett maybe lipping off. Rempe steps in. No, we're not doing that. We're not doing that today when I'm in the lineup. And he does. He makes a difference. So good for him. Did you like them inserting him in the lineup, Tim?
Oh, yeah.
You like that? Mean,
yeah, as soon as I saw that he was in the lineup and he's out, you know, he's on the bench before the game, like watching the crowd roll in, and he's got the music pumping in his ears, and I loved it. And it's funny because Florida, not just among these four teams remaining, but among, I would say, every team in the league, I don't know that there's a better team that has the ability to get under your skin, to push the buttons, to draw the penalties, to force turnovers and all that stuff just because of the way they play and how they get in your face and they back it up, and all these rats and snakes like the Cousins and Kachuk and Bennett and all these guys, and they're so good
Lomberg
at it. But they don't have a heavy. They don't have an answer for Rempe. And so they're still going to play their game, but it does impact their ability to take that next little step that just kind of gets under the skin and draws a penalty and maybe crosses the line because they know that they don't have someone they can take Rempe on. And if Rempe's swinging and forcing stuff around, and even like when he's not fighting, the hits that he throws, they're dirty. Like there's a lot. Rempe has been suspended multiple times already. He throws bad hits, and he did one in was it game three yesterday? On who was it? On Bennett, just Reinhardt. Slam his head into the boards. You know, like kind of a backhand and
Sam Reinhardt.
Right, was it Reinhardt? Yeah. I mean, it's just. But overall, I love it. And if it was, you said his record 22-3-1. If it was 5-3-1, you'd be like, huh, maybe. You know, 10-3-1, you're like, okay, there's a pattern there. You can make a case that he's an impact. 22-3-1 it's impossible to argue with. He's absolutely having a positive impact on that lineup. And whether it's him directly or just influencing the way the other guys stand taller when he's in the lineup, he's there. And he's part of that for sure.
It's the latter, Tim. And people will say, well, the Panthers are still playing the same way. I know. That's fine. It's the playoffs. They're going to continue to play the same way. It's his own team plays different when he's in the lineup because they know if it comes down to like fighting, they have a nuclear option. They have the checkmate. If the game gets out of hand, if they're losing by four, if they're winning by four and things get chippy, they will win. Matt Rempe's there. He will destroy everybody on Florida. And he has that impact. So the guys see that and they go, okay, boom, I can stay in the scrum a little bit longer. Maybe I'll face wash somebody. Maybe I'll, you know, get in someone's grill. Because look at who's behind me. Big Rig, 73. That's the impact he makes on the game. 4 or 5 minutes, W. Win. I don't care the zone time. I don't care the shot chances. I don't care. You got to shift in overtime. Love it. Coach trusts him. So good for Matt Rempe. He will be. People are saying, oh, the Rangers are getting healthy. He's going to be scratched. Not a chance. There's only one coach who would take out a player when they won three in a row. And that's Joel Quenneville when he took me out for game 7 versus the Vancouver Canucks playoffs. And that's why we lost and we didn't win the Stanley Cup. Terrible coaching decision. You ask Joel Quenneville to this day, the biggest decision that he regrets, he'll say that one. I should have played game 7.
With Stahlberg he put in over you?
Kruger or Ben Smith, one of those two guys, one of those jokers. I don't even think they had a long career. Should have been me. I should have a ring in my hand. But I don't. Thank you very much, Joel Quenneville.
No way you beat Boston in the finals anyway. So, whatever.
I would have beat the doors off Chara, Lucic, and Thornton, and then Timmy Thomas, all in a row. Would have won that going away. All right, so the Rangers win game 2 in overtime. Friend of the show, Barclay Gaudreau.
Yep.
Scores the overtime winner. Kid had 4 goals all year, 82 games. 4 goals. Hadn't scored at all in the regular season, really. Gets to the playoffs. He's got 6 goals in the playoffs. Talk about gamer. Talk about gamer. Gets 2 last game in game 3. Fantastic guy. Just jump on his back. Here we go in game 3. Where should we start? Because Alex Lafreniere, Tim, he's fun to watch. That first goal was beautiful backhand shelf, but let's talk about that second goal. There are moments when players step up and make a play and you can go and you look back on the Stanley Cup run and you go, man, that was a big deal. That second goal was one of those moments where you look at it and you just go, holy moly. He walks around 2 or 3 guys, goes bar in on one of the best goaltenders on the planet right now, Sergei Bobrovsky, and makes it look easy. We can finally say that he's arrived, correct?
Yeah, I mean, we've been kind of saying it throughout the year and commenting on how he's kept getting better. I think he finished the season, you know, around 30 points in the last 30 games, something like that. I saw that goal. I tweeted immediately. I think he's going to explode at 40 goals, 90 points next year. You know what I mean? Like, he had 29 this year. It's not even that big of a leap. So it's so good for the Rangers to see him delivering when you don't, like, it just takes some of the pressure off of, you don't need Panarin and Zibanejad every single night to deliver the points or you lose. Like, you're seeing these other kids take the reins and have those opportunities and to even try it. Just, like, the confidence and swagger to try to pull that move off, let alone bury it, is just so good. And happy for him, happy for the Rangers fans. And yeah, 2 goals for him just, again, is another player that just changes the series when you got a young kid busting out like that. Yeah, it was awesome to watch.
Yeah, and they desperately needed that because their power play is not performing at all this series. Their top line, Trocheck still chipping in, but Panarin's not doing too much. Zibanejad's not doing too much. They needed a guy that they can rely on to put some pucks in the net. And this series so far, it's been Gaudreau and Lafreniere. Those are the only two guys who have been consistently putting points on the board. So they desperately need him to continue his strong play because for whatever reason, those top guys aren't doing it. And some of that might be Florida, some of that might be Bobrovsky, but whatever the reason, they have to start picking it up, Tim. Don't you think? Because they can't keep relying on Barclay Gaudreau to score 2 goals a game. It just won't happen. The guy got 4 in the regular season. I think you're riding this wave from him. It's not going to happen. You need Kreider to find his game again. He hasn't scored in a year, it seems like, since his hat trick. Last series versus the Canes where he went natural hat trick. Where is he? Where's Panarin? Where's Trocheck? We need these guys to find something in order for the Rangers to win because it's been lopsided. The reason they're winning is Igor Shesterkin. He's been fantastic. He's been absolutely lights out. He gets up four goals. All four were pretty solid goals. But before we get to that, let's just put a bow on the Rangers. Matt Rempe and his penalty. The Rangers up 2-1. Rempe battling in his own end or in the offensive zone. Just pigeon tosses Sam Reinhart. He was forechecking. Sam Reinhart tries to interfere with Rempe. Throw a little pick. The big guy says, not today. Gets him under his arm and just literally launches him. Doesn't, like, no hesitation. Just throws him into the boards face first. Reinhart comes up. He's like, where am I? Looks to the ref initially. Arm up. Okay, I'm fine now. They get a power play. They score the game tying goal. That should have been a penalty on Reinhart. It should have been an interference penalty on Sam Reinhart getting in the way when Matt Rempe is forechecking the puck. And just because Rempe's a big dude, he bowls right through him. That's the way it should. You go look at that, Tim. You're shaking your head. Go look at the play. Rempe's got a reputation now. Anytime a guy falls or looks bad, he's going to get – the other guy's getting the benefit of the doubt. Rempe's getting sent to the box. So just tough luck for the big guy.
I mean, no. Mm-hmm. I'm watching it now. He knew exactly what he was doing. He takes his arm and just flings his head. It's a little bit like, remember that play 10, 12 years ago when Shea Weber took Henrik Zetterberg's head and just both hands and just smashed it into the boards?
Oh my gosh. It was nothing like that. Nothing like that. He's forechecking the puck. Listen to you.
He's got his face in his fist and smashes it into the boards. I know it wasn't exactly like that, but that's what it made me think of. And so, whatever. I mean, he gets the penalty. There is a reputation element there for sure. Mm-hmm. Anytime he sees a big hit, you don't even have to see it. You see someone going to the board, you see Rempe there. Oh, penalty. The whistle's up. That one was, I think, a good call, but he's going to get that for a long time just because of his size.
It's unfortunate. And then we saw another Rangers penalty. It was a parade to the penalty box for the New York Rangers. Later on that game, Jake Trouba decides to just go bonkers, throws a people's elbow at Rodriguez, just clips him. If he connects full on, and this is the tricky thing about suspensions and intent. The intent was there. Like, he lunges his elbow at Evan Rodriguez, just clips his ear. If he is 8 inches closer to Rodriguez and clips him in the cheek, he's getting 5 to 10 games for that. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Like, he launches his elbow at him. Luckily, he just clipped him. Rodriguez goes down. They review it, only a minor. So he gets 4-minute penalty, 2 for elbowing, 2 for tripping or roughing before that. But dodged a bullet. Dodged a serious bullet. If he goes out, the Rangers are in trouble. DeAndre Miller, I got to choose my words carefully here, sucks. He his penalty killing cost them 2 goals. Gave the Florida Panthers 2 goals. When you win a faceoff and you have the puck on your stick, you rim the thing around the boards as hard as you can. 2 goals in a row the Panthers got. I don't know what he's doing. He tries to throw it up the middle. They knock it down. They get a goal right afterwards. He needs to figure that out, or he can't be on the PK. That's it. I like Miller. He takes too many chances at the offensive blue line. He thinks he's Adam Fox sometimes. And in the D zone, just mean potatoes, man. Get the puck out. It's a simple job. Win the draw, rip it around the boards. That's it. That's all you have to do. He's trying to be something he's not. He sees Adam Fox doing it. He sees Lindgren doing it. He sees, who do they got? Gustafson doing it. Listen, bro, you're a big, strong defenseman who can have a good career in this league. You have some good offensive upside, but let's just pump the brake. It drove me nuts. Rim it around. So anyways, 2 goals for the Panthers. Trouba gets this penalty. Four-minute power play for the Panthers. Uh-oh. Uh-oh, we're in trouble. No, Barkley Goodrow. What a shot, right? What a shot from him. Trocheck digs the puck out of the corner. Beautiful pass to Barkley Goodrow and rips it. Top shelf. What did you think of this goal, Tim? You got to give it to him.
Yeah, I didn't even see it go in. It was so quick because it comes out so quick and so hard that it felt you think it must have hit the goalie's pads or something, but back of the net, right back out. Beautiful shot. Again, I don't know where this version of Goodrow is coming from, where he's got more goals in these last 12, 15 playoff games in the whole season. But that's another guy. Just like goes back to those Lightning teams 3-4 years ago and how everyone in that lineup was just so built for the playoffs, and they're doing it here now years later. It was great. It was
amazing how someone can change their game. I played with him in San Jose. He stunk. Like, just an average. He wasn't fast. There was nothing, remarkable about him. Carved out a pretty decent career. Got a ring on his finger, making how much? Like $3-4 million?
I think four, yeah. Overpaid. I think he's had 4x4.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a crazy contract that he got, but hey, he's paying off now. They go to overtime. Panthers tied up in the third period. All the momentum. What were the chances you had here, Tim? They outchanced New York. What were the numbers?
108-44. That's across the whole game and everything.
108-44.
This is where you get into Bobrovsky, you know, needing to be better, and just 783 save percentage and 18 saves on 23 shots. It's just not good enough. And Shesterkin was good, but he wasn't like, this wasn't a Shesterkin's game where he stole it for him. I think he made 32, 33 saves, something like that. So 3.31 more goals allowed than expected for Bobrovsky. It's just not good enough. But yeah, just to your point, Florida was dominating the chances in the offensive zone time.
And the Rangers scored when they needed to score. I don't think Bob is at fault for any of the goals. Both the friendly goals were very good. Backhands, bar down the first one, and then far side off the post the second one. Good goodies goals. We're not saving those. And then let's talk about the OT winner, Alex Wennberg. Who guy hasn't gotten a goal in the playoffs, been snake bitten, not really doing anything, finds himself alone in front of the net somehow. A nonchalant shot on net. Hits him right between his hands. So I don't even think he was trying to tip it. It just coming towards him, hits his stick in the net, game over. Everybody was shocked. Everyone was shocked in the whole arena. The fans, you could tell their reaction. What? They just scored? Like, this was supposed to be a Florida win. It's amazing how the game works out like that. So the Rangers win 5-4. Going to game four. Who has the momentum?
Man, that's a good question. Because yeah. It goes both ways, because you think, obviously, you know, the game itself swung in Florida's favor for basically the entire time, minus the goals, which is a silly statement to say, but I think you have to think it's the Rangers. They've won two in a row now. They're feeling good. They basically, if you're putting a positive spin on it for New York, it's like, we withstood the best that Florida had to offer, and we came out on top. Like, yeah. They're not going to do that again to us. So I would think it's the Rangers.
Yeah, I could go both ways. If I'm Paul Maurice, we had the advantage in power plays. Our power play was great. We scored goals. Our goaltender was okay. We just can't figure out Igor Shesterkin. We threw how many shots at net? Over 100? Well, we're bound to get some puck luck, pucks banging off of shins, something like that. But if I'm the Rangers, I can't feel good coming out of this win. I really can't.
Can I ask you about the Wennberg goal just for a second?
You can.
How did the guy get all alone like that? Where he was like, there's like a 10-foot radius around him. And I watched it multiple times. It's Kulikov and OEL, the two defensemen out there.
Well, there's your first answer.
But like, I'm like, are they playing zone man-to-man? Like, what sequence of events? Because I'm watching a few times. Like, how did they get, where were they skating? What were they covering? And I couldn't figure it out.
Well, Wenberg's a centerman, so it's off a face-off. So technically, his man is the centerman who should be pressuring Wennberg and staying with him off of the draw to a certain point. Then he releases. So what they were doing on that draw, the winger from the middle is going to the boards. And so the D-man should release him to the boards. He follows him over to the boards. It allows Wennberg to leak out from the center position and just go to the front by himself, because that time the centerman for the Panthers probably releases as well, because there was a little scrum on the half wall, correct? Then it gets kicked out to the D-man. He shoots it on net because he sees Wennberg by himself. Miscommunication from the D-man for Florida in front of the net and the centerman. They have to talk. You have to release your man if you're the D-man, and then take the centerman coming to the net. They didn't do that. Wide open in front. Easy tip for him. So, yeah, it's hockey 101. Like, you should be talking. I don't know if that was Kulikov or OEL. My money is probably OEL, because he's not a good defenseman, but who knows? It's a blown coverage. It is what it is. He gets alone in front, and maybe they just saw his name was Wennberg, and he's like, he's not going to do it. Yeah. Leave him. He's not going to do anything. But the Rangers win 5-4. I think the Panthers will be okay. They'll right the ship, and if they play this way, they will win this series. There's no way the Rangers can sustain this type of just playing on your heels the whole time, getting a shorthanded goal, Barclay Gaudreau getting two goals, Lafreniere getting a couple breakaways. It won't happen. They need the big guys to step up. They need their power play to step up. And let's touch on that, because I took a little bit of heat last series when I said the reason the Rangers are winning was because the Canes power play, PK, is garbage. They're not making adjustments. They're not playing well. And everyone's like, well, no, it's the Rangers. Their power play is unstoppable. So you're saying the Hurricanes don't want to win the game? They do, but the coaches were too stubborn or stupid or whatever the word is to figure out how to challenge this vaunted New York Rangers power play. And I'm watching the series now. We've gone three games. They have zero goals. Zero chances, really. The Florida Panthers' PK is lights out. And do you know how they do it? Pressure, 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 pressure. The Canes' PK was so passive. Tight box. Let's just let them move it around the outside. And that's what killed them. The Rangers are too good. They go low to high, east to west, down low, finding Kreider in front. They're getting a shot, a rebound. They're going Panarin to Zibanejad. It's a very good power play. The way to thwart that is you pressure like crazy. And you watch these PK and PP. As soon as the power play starts, right off the draw, the Panthers are not letting the guys up top get set. If it's Zibanejad, if it's Fox, if it's Panarin, whoever it is up top, they're going right at him. And the Rangers don't know what to do. They're all out of sorts. They try to tic-tac-toe him, but the Panthers are just on them. Whether it's Barkov, Rodriguez, that big centerman who's out there who's great, they are just killing it. And the only time the Panthers get in trouble is when they let them have a little time. So if I'm the Rangers, the way to thwart this, shoot the puck at the net. Shoot it. Right away, win the draw, go D to D, fire a puck at the net. It puts the forwards for the Panthers on defense. They're trying to find a rebound. The Rangers will pick up the rebound, low to high again. It gives them a little more time. D to D, shoot the puck. Do this one or two times. It softens that PK a lot. So that's how you thwart that. And people say, oh, you're just a goon. You have no idea what you're talking. I know what I'm talking about. I did this for years and years and years as the other team's PK, the scout PK. That was me. And what works is you shoot the puck, you get the rebound, and you do it again. And all of a sudden, the PKers don't know where the puck is. They don't know where their guy is, and they're just confused. And when you're confused, you tighten it up. You bring the box in. You're not running out to your D-man. You're not pressuring. That's how you do it. So if I'm the Rangers, shoot it. That's all we do. We can't go tic-tac-toe. We can't go east-west. We can't go across the box. Shoot it. Loosen up the PK. Then you can start doing those things. Until they do that, the Panthers are going to have their way with them. You watch the next game. They're going. They're going. Boom, 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 boom. It's hard for the Rangers to do that. Before we move on to the next series, I want to talk about how good my Conn Smythe's pick is doing. Gustav Forsling. Can we just touch on that? Everybody. You hear Mark Messier and PK Subban now suckling at the teat of Gustav Forsling? Oh, this guy is so good. He's unbelievable. People better, watch him. I was there a month ago, you guys. You know what I mean? Like, where have you been? Welcome to the party. Oh, he scores a goal in game three. All of a sudden, he's good. PK? You don't know what you're talking about. You're late to the party, my man. I said this guy was Conn Smythe last month. Played fantastic, Tim. Did you see him pick that corner on Igor Shesterkin? One-on-one. With the best goal on the planet.
And the offense isn't even the best part of his game right now. It's what he's doing defensively and shutting down and playing without the puck. Yeah, it's unreal to watch.
I guess there's a reason Panarin and Zibanejad and Kreider and those guys aren't scoring. And thy name is Forsling. Oh, he's so good. That was a hell of a shot.
Yeah. Yeah, and I looked up while you were talking earlier. Kreider has 0 points in the series. Panarin has one assist. And Zibanejad has 0 points. It's just...
not good.
Trocheck's getting his, but the other guys are silent.
Yeah. And people would... that's the thing. People critiqued Matthews. People critiqued Marner. All the top guys, they get on them. For some reason, these guys get a pass. You got to do better. You have to do better if those three guys, if you're going to win the cup, you can't rely on Lafreniere and Gaudreau and Trocheck. You have to do better, you three. And get on them. Like, where's Laviolette calling them out? He has. I know they're up two games to one. Now's the perfect time to do it. And how good is Barkov? He's like a poor man's McKinnon. So good.
Yeah, he's incredible. I mean, he is getting the accolades on those on the broadcast and everything, and so strong. And I don't know if there's a smarter player in the league. There might be some guys as smart as him, but not smarter. He's just, the way he sees the game is just so, it's special.
What do you think? Do you think he's got a six pack?
Did you see him? He had smelling salts, not in his nose, in his eyes. He was doing it right in both eyes for like 3 or 4 seconds each.
Why? Whoa. Do your eyes breathe?
I don't know, man. He just, he's a maniac.
I don't understand that, but it must work. And then last guy in the Rangers, who we touched on earlier when we did our Conn Smythe pick, I said Forsling or Evan Rodriguez. How good is he? He's now getting first line minutes. Incredible. Absolutely incredible. We should. Yeah. We honestly need to be GMs in this league because it seems like we see stuff. We're like 10 steps ahead of everybody else, Tim. It's crazy. And then all of a sudden, I was like, hey, this Rodriguez is having a pretty good playoffs. No, duh. Duh.
It's, yeah. I mean, it's those comments we get on YouTube of who are these guys? This is a great show. Why don't more people know about it? It's like, yeah.
Oh, those are knives to the back. These guys should be more popular. Oh, yeah. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. Well, then tell your friends. Let's go. Let's get us out there. All right. Let's move west. Big game for the Dallas Stars. They're down 1-0 to the Edmonton Oilers. They had to win this game at home. Well, they didn't have to. They like going down 0-2 in series, but they won this game. Why did they win this game, Tim? Tell me right now.
I mean, yeah, they get the goals, obviously, from Ben and Marchment, the empty netter from Lindell. But to me, I think the best player for any team in these playoffs has been Miro Heiskanen. Just, I mean, he's leading his team in points. He's doing all that stuff. But you look at the stats, the way he's playing the shutdown roles. And again, him and Tanev have shared the role of shutting down Eichel and Stone and all those guys. And then there's McKinnon and Rantanen, and now they're doing it to McDavid and Draisaitl. Since game two of the second round versus the Avalanche, Miro Heiskanen ranks second in the NHL in time on ice at 201 minutes, 45 seconds. The Stars have outscored their opponents 11-0 in that stance, and own over 65% of the scoring chances generated while Heiskanen's on the ice. And during those times, he hasn't been on there for a single goal against. It's just incredible that, you know, and everyone's kind of talking, oh, he wasn't even a Norris finalist. He wasn't this during the regular season. You know what I mean? Like, he's still an elite defenseman, top 5, 10, whatever you want to give him. But right now, he's accessing an even higher plane that we hadn't seen from him previously. And I love to watch. It's so much fun to watch. And it's hard because as well as Bouchard does offensively and as well as Nurse, you know, does in shutting down and Ekholm and those guys, the Oilers don't have a Heiskanen. They just don't have a response for this. And when he's shutting down McDavid and those guys, it's just special. So I think he's probably the biggest reason, not to mention Ottinger is just straight up playing better than Skinner too.
28 minutes, 15 seconds per game. Crazy. That's insane. The only guy who was higher in the playoffs was John Carlson for the Washington Capitals. He was 29-12. But I think they had a couple overtime games, if I remember correct, maybe one. But the Washington Capitals defense was atrocious.
Right.
The Dallas Stars have a pretty solid top five. And that's the reason he's getting a lot, is because they're rolling 5D men. But boy, oh boy, what a difference maker having a stud defenseman makes. And not just a guy who can run and gun, but a guy who can play all around and shut down another team's top line. And we'll touch on that in a second, what he's doing to the all of a sudden pedestrian Connor McDavid.
It's like what you guys used to say about Niedermeyer, where it looks like he's not even getting tired out there. Like, he's just so smooth and effortless, and he does it so well. Yeah, it's just special to watch.
Yeah, and with a team like the Dallas Stars, who have been struggling to score, like, they've been mired in funk this whole playoffs, it seems like, where they, you know, 2-3 goals is a lot for them for whatever reason. To have a guy like Heiskanen, who could not give up any, and then go out to him and put up 11 in his own right. Like, he's on the ice. He's 11-0 when he's on the ice. The guy's got 14 points. Like, he's playing fantastic. So it's such a luxury for Miro Heiskanen and for the Dallas Stars. Frankly, I would just have him out there more. It's such a good thing because we talk a lot about him. We talk a lot about Wyatt Johnson and Stankoven and these guys. We talk a lot about Draisaitl. My biggest question to you is, where the hell is Connor McDavid? And I'm serious. I know he's second in points in the NHL. He's having a great, you know, statistical season so far, his playoffs. You know, he's playing good. He's got 23 points. Really? Is he having a good playoffs? He's got 3 goals. He was invisible in game 2. I'll say it. He didn't do anything. What's going on? Is it Heiskanen? Is it Tanev? Or is this guy, is he hurt? I've been saying it for a long time now, the last couple of weeks. I started off as a joke. Now it's progressed into, I'm just Nostradamus. It's became fact. What's going on with Connor McDavid? Why is he not producing like he should?
I don't think we're really going to know the answer until his team gets eliminated or he wins, whenever his playoffs are over, because I think it's probably an injury that we just don't know. And because even when you watch the games, it's just, he's not, and it's weird to say because he's the best player in the world and probably still is the best player, even whatever's going on with him right now. But like, he is not his normal self. He's not shooting the puck. Like, he has 37 shots in 14 games. That's just over like 2.5 shots a game. That's not enough for Connor McDavid, for a guy who always has the puck on his stick. You know what? I got his career playoff statistics in front of me right now. The last 2 years, 16.4 percentage for shooting percentage. Last year was 15.7. So let's split the difference, call it 16 the last 2 years. This year it's 8.1. So is it just puck
luck? That's
like half. Right. Is it like, it's crazy. I don't know what's going on. I don't know. But three goals is not enough because he had 10 and 8 the last 2 years, and now he's got three. It's just not enough.
He still has the same line mates. He's been playing with the Nuge ever since he came into the league. Zach Hyman's been riding shotgun to him for a few years now. So what's the deal, Connor? Tell me. I think a lot of it has to do with the Dallas defense. I think they're playing really good, you know?
Yeah, but he's done it every series now.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Are you saying he's past his prime?
No. I'm saying something's not right with him. He's battling some kind of injury.
If I'm the Edmonton Oilers, I am very nervous. I need him to be a superstar, a superhero. He has to do Connor McDavid thinks. You can't just all of a sudden go from getting 4 points a game, 3 points a game to nothing. You got to do more. And we saw that in game two. It was a very tight check game, beautiful game, very fun game, very different than the Rangers game, equally enjoyable. The goaltenders are playing fantastic. The defenses are playing fantastic. It's a really good game to watch for an educated hockey fan like we are. But he needs to do more, Tim. He really does. And I don't know what's ailing him. He must have something wrong. He's going to come out with like a Pedersen. Mom, my knee's been hurt since January. That's why you're not doing it. But anyways, we want to see more from him. We got 1-1 going into Edmonton. So they did their job. They went to Dallas and they split. They're going home. What do you see from game three tonight out of this series, Tim?
Yeah. I think Edmonton has to win this game. I don't think you... Let me elaborate. Okay. You can't help yourself. I mean, obviously, they're playing in Edmonton. You can't go down 2-1.
Did I throw you off there? Are you a little flustered?
Yes. Yeah. Let me get reset. Honestly, no, because, you know, Dallas is too good. And Dallas is, you know, they lose game one and they don't panic because they've lost game one for the last seven playoff series. And they get better as the series goes on. So I think if Edmonton wants to win, they need to not let this go 6 or 7. No.
Yeah.
So I would say
here's where I'm getting a little irked. People are blowing so much smoke of the Stars' butt. Oh, they're the best. They're so deep. They're so this, they're so that. Us included, we're guilty of that. I'm getting a little tired of that narrative. Oh, they're the greatest team since sliced bread. They're so deep. Rupe Hintz is out. He won't see this series in my eyes. Friend of the show, Joe Pavelski, is not playing that great. He's got one goal. He's struggling beyond belief. Mason Marchment's playing okay. They need to do more as well. Like, this team is struggling as well. You watch the first two games. There's a lot to be taken from that. They have to play better. Jason Robertson, where are you? What's going on? Like, let's pick it up here. You have the deeper team, and it doesn't show so far. In my eyes, yeah, they play better in game two, but it's anybody's game. If I'm the Edmonton Oilers, I'm pissed too. Like, oh, the narrative is the Dallas Stars are so much deeper. We've been saying it. Everybody was saying it. Like, where's Corey Perry? You know what I mean? Where is Evander Kane? Where are these guys that we brought in to bolster our depth? There's a lot of guys that need to step up on both teams. And basically, whatever team shows up first, whatever depth shows up first, will win this series. Because both teams, I think, have another gear to go to. It's been great hockey. It's been very fun. There's a lot of guys who can play better. And I'm expecting a really good game tonight. Really fun game to watch. But gosh, if the Dallas Stars find their footing and just start to play better, they will wax the floor with these Edmonton Oilers. But I don't know if they can. We'll see. Or if Connor McDavid all of a sudden shows up. He's had a couple days off now. Let's go, Connor. Pick it up. He listens, so he's going to hear that. And maybe he'll listen and play better. So I envision, I think Dallas will find its footing first. And then I just don't trust Stuart Skinner. I really don't. And they'll win.
Yeah. I mean, maybe tonight's the first time we see Picard in. If Skinner doesn't live up to snuff. I was looking at the playoff odds just while you were talking to see what Vegas is predicting. This is for not any particular game, but to win the cup. Florida is still the favorites, even though they're down 2-1. They're plus 230. Dallas is plus 240. Edmonton plus 280. And the Rangers, even though they're the only team with a series lead, is plus 320.
So even Vegas sees the lopsided games from Florida and the New York Rangers. Isn't that hilarious? Yeah. Before the series, the Rangers were odds on favorite to win that series.
Yep.
That's why you play the game, everybody. That's why we don't know anything.
But yeah, honestly, we know everything.
We don't know anything. We're just guessing as much as you guys are. We know a little bit, but it's just funny. Drop the puck, play the game. All of a sudden, it's a lopsided game. The Panthers are all over the Rangers. They figure out their power play, being physical, throwing pucks at the net. It's amazing how that works, and you can be successful. All right, moving on. Quick hits, Tim. What do we got? We got one.
Yeah, actually, I got another two. Just going back to the game three tonight, the big question is whether Rupe Hintz returns to the lineup. He traveled with the team. He is kind of going to be a game-time decision. He skated just before game two, so he was close to being healthy enough for game two. So if he's in the lineup, that does change things a bit.
Huge, huge, huge one for the Dallas Stars. And let's not forget, Adam Henrique's still up for the Edmonton Oilers. He's missed the last seven or eight games, so tough blow for him. He was their big acquisition at the deadline. He hasn't played at all in the last two series, so that would be nice to get him back. Do you know what's wrong with him?
Off the top of my head, no.
Adam Henrique, I don't know either, but he's been out for a while. He would be fun to get back, but good for the Dallas Stars. If they can get him back in the lineup, he's good. He's a good player. All right, what else, Tim?
Yeah, so obviously this is the trade rumors are already swirling for all the teams that have been eliminated. The big names are Linus Ullmark, Martin Nietzsche, and some of the other guys that will likely be on the move. I think it's going to be a very interesting summer. But a new name came up over the weekend from a reliable source. Jeremy Rutherford for The Athletic. He's based out of St. Louis, so he's got connections to this family. It's Brady Tkachuk. Reportedly, his name has been floated around a little bit in the trade rumor mill out of Ottawa. So you look at it, you think about it, it doesn't really make any sense. He's like their one thing that's working every single season, but something's not working about that group as a whole, and they could get a lot for him. So that's something to keep an eye on this summer.
Tim, I've been saying it for years. This group, for whatever reason, they don't have it. Everybody's playing well. Their individual stats are high, so you can't just point your finger at one guy. They've had a plethora of coaches. They've ran through them. It's just this group. They don't work. Brady Tkachuk coming off another solid year, 74 points, 81 games the year before, 83 points in 82 games. The guy's a good player. Signed for four more years at 8.4, whatever, some weird number, random 205714. Trade him. I would.
Yeah, but don't look at their goalies over that span. It's Korpisalo and Forsberg and Craig Anderson. Like, these guys were not good enough. And if you think if they bring in Ullmark, right, and they trade, say, Pinto or Chychrun or whatever, some combination like that, not their top stars, and they give him a guy who's a legit number one who can play 60 games, that changes things. Don't you feel like they can give him a better chance to make the playoffs?
No. But no. I've said it before. I don't think this group is right for each other. I don't know why. Like, I'm not in the room. I'm not an Ottawa Senators expert, but for some reason, Stutzel and Tkachuk and Giroux and Batherson and Matthew Joseph and Sanderson and Shabbat Shalom and all these guys, they don't work together. They're all great. They're all great players. I would love to have them on my team if I was a coach. Yeah, sign me up. They're all fantastic individual players. But when you put them together as a whole, Joshua Norris, they don't win. They don't win. So I don't think it's the goalie's fault. I really don't.
Doesn't help when you don't have... You got one of the worst goalies in the league, you know. I'll just say that.
I agree, but I don't think throwing an Ullmark in there is all of a sudden going to right the ship. And, oh, my goodness, we're first place in the East. You got to do something. The definition of insanity. Everybody knows it. It's been thrown around. But if I'm Steve Staios, the GM, you got to do something. Make an impact play. Trade your captain. I dare you. See how that goes over well with the fan base. And then you continue to lose. That'd be good. Tkachuk would love it. Brady Tkachuk would enjoy going somewhere else. Be fun. So trade him to Toronto. Him for Marner, straight up. That'd be incredible. It's not going to happen. You can always dream. Right, Tim? We should do a show of dream trades. It'd be fantastic. But anyways, time to go. Enjoy your Memorial Day, everybody. Thank you for joining us. Go out, have some fun. Drink some good old American beer and fire off some fireworks. If you're in Canada, let's go to work. Suckers. We'll talk to you, everybody, Wednesday. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to Dropping the Gloves with John Scott, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode.